Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're just grateful. Thank you guys for doing that. And then with Mike and Dennis, we just thank you for doing that. Appreciate that so much. Praise the name of the Lord. We're going to start a new series here. It's called Journey for the Promise, Journey for the Promise. And this is more like an introduction to this subject. I'd like for you to go to Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 4, the journey to the promise. I think that there's a lot of people don't realize that there's a journey that the Holy Spirit takes us on, you know, so that we may inherit the promises of God. You know, I had something on my heart, and as I go through this, I'll talk about it more, about how much that it is of the heart of God to bless His children. You know, we know that Jesus paid the price, and we know that the Bible calls the blood of Jesus the precious blood. It calls it precious blood. You know, this has great, great value and great, great meaning in the heart of Almighty God. We know that according to the word of the Lord, that it says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So I want you to know that God is very much desiring to bring all of the fullness and all of the blessings that have been paid for by the holy, righteous blood of Jesus into your life and into my life. And what we need to do is that we need to learn how to keep our eyes on Jesus and believe upon Him with our whole heart. That's what we need to learn to do. The Holy Spirit is continually training us up in that way. And then what happens is that the Holy Spirit is so faithful to lead us to the fullness of the promises of Almighty God. You know, there are promises that I stand on and that I lift up and believe before the Lord. Now, for me, I don't have it with me. It's over there. But I have a journal that I keep with me all of the time. You know, and I write things that God talks to me about. You know, He speaks to me. And then I know when He's speaking to me, and I'll write it down. And many times I'll write the date down as well at that particular time. I think this is a good practice because you're keeping track of the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Because I want you to know it's with divine design. All right? I want you to know that the leadership of the Holy Spirit is with divine design. You know, He is faithful and He is true. You've read it. You know that the word of the Lord says that He gives to His beloved even in his sleep. Right? So God is moving in our lives in a 24-hour circle, 7 days a week, and on into the future destiny that He's bringing forth in our lives. You know, I pray about things, and I'll write them down in my book, and that way I keep track of them. But you know, I can tell you there's things that I've lifted up before the Lord. Something moved on me. When something moves on you, you need to open up your mouth, and you need to speak it, no matter where you might find yourself at that time. You know, when something moves on you, God moves upon you, and you just stop in your tracks. You need to be sensitive to the Lord. And when you're sensitive to the Lord, you know, then you're going to stop in your tracks, and you're going to believe, and you're going to lift it up, and you're going to let it out. You're going to speak it in the Lord. You know, this is called walking with the Lord on a daily basis, right? You know, we walk with the Lord. Praise God for a prayer closet. You know, I'm all for it. All right. Have yourself a prayer closet. You need to have a prayer time. You need to have a time of seeking God. You know, this is all very important. But we walk with the Lord all day long. We walk with Him all day long. And He moves upon us in the funniest ways. Because sometimes what He does is He moves on us at the times when, you know, we're the most distracted. When sometimes we're the most busy at that. It just doesn't seem like an opportune time. But He's training you. And He's training me that we'll be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and that we will claim, and that we will believe, and that we will speak out those things that the Spirit of the Lord is moving on us at that very time and very moment. You know, there's times when I do have that happen to me, you know, and then, you know, we get our mind going in other ways, other directions, and I forget it. You know, I forget it. But I acted on it. And I want you to hear that. I acted on it when it happened. I acted on it. Now, that doesn't mean that I've acted every single time that when I needed to act. But I want you to know that God is very, very patient with you and me in perfecting us in the ways of the Lord. He's very, very patient. He's not like you and me. Glory to God, right? You know, sometimes we say, I've just had enough, you know, or we get frustrated. God doesn't get frustrated. Isn't that wonderful? You know, God does. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have a fear of the Lord and that we continue to go in a way that is not right in God. And I'm not talking about that. But, you know, when, you know, people say, well, you know, I'm afraid that I'm not hearing the voice of God. He'll teach you how to hear him. He'll teach you. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to. I'm not against this altogether, but you don't have to go to a conference for someone has learned the keys. He's learned the secret. There's no secrets in the Word of God that you cannot have. There's no secrets in the Word of God that you cannot know. There is no teacher, there's no preacher, there's no prophet, there's no apostle that has learned the secrets, and you need to hear it from him because he's got it, he's learned it, and you don't know it. I tell you, that's just not true. I'm not saying that somebody can't teach you something. I'm not saying that. But I want you to know that the Holy Spirit will train you in your way, because he has an intimate communion and fellowship with you. And he will train you in his way with you, because you are unique with him. All right? And you'll learn how to hear the voice of God. You will learn how to hear the voice of God. You know, because God knows how to make himself known. All right? You know, it's so funny because, you know, God will talk in your own language. You know, how you talk. Well, maybe not, I'll take that back here. Maybe not how you talk, but how you think or whatever it would be. You know, one time I was sitting, I was young in the Lord, and there was a word that had been given for healing, you know. And I'll just tell you how it was. This is just the way it was. And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, wonder who that is. I wonder who that word is for. You know, and it was almost like I got poked in the back of my shoulder. You know, you come up and poke somebody. And I'm not kidding. This is exactly what happened. Exactly what happened. I felt like a poke in the shoulder right there and said, hey, dummy, it's you. That's right. That's right. God called me dummy. All right. You know, because, you know, you have a unique fellowship. Now, if you would never use the word dummy, now I'm not calling people dummy, but I mean, if you would never use the word dummy or anything like that, then you may not hear it that way. Okay. You might hear, oh, gentle sweetheart. You know, I don't know. I don't know what you'll hear. But what I'm saying is that you have a unique fellowship with God. Okay. Because he is personally intimate with you. Okay. You know, and with him being personally intimate with you, he speaks in your language, okay? You know, I mean, if you're cut and dry, then you'll hear God talk to you cut and dry, because cut and dry speaks to you, all right? You know, or whatever it would be. So, I mean, I want you to know that you will hear the voice of God. You should take confidence in that. You should take confidence in that, because there's a barrage of attack against you all the time to undermine your confidence in God. Always to undermine your fellowship, undermine your faith, undermine your acting, you know. Oh, well, you know, I'm afraid it might be me. It might just be me. Well, there's no problem with having a pause with something, but also don't be afraid to act. Don't be afraid to act, you know, because you're acting. When you do, you're doing it in faith. You know, God knows your heart, and you ought to know your own heart, right? You ought to know your own heart. You know, if you got a genuine heart, you know, and you act, okay, you made a mistake or whatever it would be. You know, well, you know, with a genuine heart, there's mercy, there's forgiveness, and there's learning, right? Learning. You know, there's a lot of churches that can't put up with young in the Lord. They all want revival. They all want their pews to all be filled, all their chairs to be filled, and everything else. You know, but the other side of it is there are many of them that don't want to put up with the young in the Lord. They don't want to put up with the young in the Lord, you know, because there's always difficulties. There's always problems. There's always issues that are going on. There's always carnality, you know, that moving in the church and various things like that, you know, because they're young in the Lord. You know, they're called babes, right? Babes in Christ, you know, and, you know, when you take care of a baby, it's a lot different from someone that is mature. So there's a lot of churches that don't want that. They say they do. They just want the end product of it. That's all they really want. But God doesn't work like that. He doesn't work like that. You know, he raises up a people and he trains up a people that can have fellowship and that can have stewardship over the young ones. God prepares a congregation for increase. God prepares a congregation for increase and for the harvest. We want to walk in that way. We want to learn that way by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's all part of the overall work that the Lord is doing within us. What we're looking at here today is we're looking at the journey for the promise. Because I want you to know that it is a journey. It is a journey. We believe on the Lord. I was talking about my journal a little bit earlier, but you know, I have that and I looked at that. But there's a journey that the Spirit of God leads us on to where he can bring about the fulfillment of the promises of God. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, they believe God, and then it doesn't happen in 30 days. It didn't happen next week, and they don't know what to do. They don't know what to do anymore when it comes to standing and believing and waiting upon the fulfillment of the promises of Almighty God. God has his timing. He has his timing. You know, there's a word there in the Old Testament. It says that my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts, you know. I was, I think I told you this, put up with me if you would, you know, and that is that, you know, I was murmuring and complaining. It's good not to do that, but I was young in the Lord, and I was murmuring and complaining, oh, Lord, you know, why didn't this happen, you know, and I've been believing you for this, and, you know, and just kept on, and I mean, I'm telling you, I've had God to speak to me sometimes, you know, very few times, but where I didn't know if it was verbal or not. Okay, I wasn't quite sure if it wasn't verbal or not. That's how deep, that's how strong that it was when he spoke to me. And I'm in the middle of my complaining and everything like that. And then that scripture, it comes to my heart. And the Spirit of God spoke that. He said, my ways are not your ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts. I shut up. I just shut up. I'll never forget that. And then, can you imagine this? And then it was some weeks later, I think it's Isaiah 58, but I ran into that in the Word. Oh, my goodness. And then I got sober even more. You know, so, so the Lord, he leads us and he guides us. And he is the one. We're on a pathway. We're on a journey for the fulfillment. I want you to see some of the things that we see right here. These are kind of like touch and go scriptures. We're in Romans chapter 4. And the first one we're going to look at is here in verse 12. And it says, and speaking of Abraham, and it says, and the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also, look at this, follow in the steps of the faith of our father, Abraham, which he had while uncircumcised. All right, now, so you notice that we follow in the steps. I would say to you, why don't you take your Bible and do a study on Abraham and read about him and see what the steps that God brought him to. You know, the steps that he was bringing him to is that he could look at nothing else, that he could not look at himself, not look at Sarah, not look at those things that were logical, not looking at those things that were reasonable, not looking at those things that were of a natural nature, that where he could look at God and look at God alone and had confidence that the promise would be fulfilled. And those are part of the steps of Abraham. And that's what the Lord does in my life and in your life. Don't worry about being weak. Don't worry about being weak. You know, the evil one will try to attack you over that. Here's another, if you don't mind, I'll give you. Let's look at this. This is in verse, there's another touch and go scripture that has to do with right here. And that is in verse 19. And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplate his own body now as good as dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. I mean, this is a work that is impossible. And you know what God is trying to do is he's seeking to raise up servants. He's seeking to raise up servants because he's taking them into the steps of faith. And he's raising up servants so that those servants can look beyond the impossible and they can believe God. That's what the Lord is doing. That's what he's seeking for. You know, that's what he's after. That is the end goal of what he's doing in you and what he's doing in me. And he's always perfecting that work. You know, because we let the influences of the natural affect us so much in so many ways. The Holy Spirit is training you and he's teaching you how not to be affected by those natural things, which includes your own thoughts, all right? You know, that you can be able to just be able to believe God and stand on the promise of God. Now, here's a big one, and feel nothing, right? And to feel nothing. I kind of wrote this down for me because it was in my journal. I don't have it written down right here, but I wrote it down because I felt the Holy Spirit spoke it to me. And he said, feel nothing, but say everything. Feel nothing, but say everything. Many times we go on what we feel. We go, and then what happens? We begin to speculate with our carnal mind, our natural mind, right? And then we begin to try to walk. Now we're in real trouble because now we're not looking to the promise. We're not looking to the covenant. And we're not seeing the blood of Jesus. It's behind the covenant promises of God. No, we're looking and analyzing all of the logical reasons as to why it won't happen or why it couldn't happen. Right? Now, you understand that this is a natural course and steps in which the Holy Spirit is taking you and me on this journey. We're on this journey, you know, and we're like Abraham as well. And I won't get into all that. I may use some of it later but look at it. But, you know, Abraham, you know, we reverend Abraham. You know, he's the father of us all, the father of our faith, those that were justified on the basis of faith. Okay, on the basis of faith through grace. And this is what Abraham received through the covenant of the Lord. But he was a miserable failure in a lot of ways. Okay, you know, he made mistake after mistake after mistake. You know, and then after he made his mistakes, he made more mistakes in the same manner as the ones he'd already made. Does that sound familiar? You know, and what the evil one wants to do is to condemn you. He wants to condemn you. He wants you to become so frustrated. He wants you to feel like a sense of defeat and a sense of failure. You know, and then he kind of tries to change the thinking, you know, in your heart and in your mind so that you begin to receive enough of that you think God feels that way too. And it's not true. You know, and then when that happens, we feel that, and a lot of times, you know, this is subconsciously. You know, a lot of times this is kind of like the things roaming around in the back of your head, if you understand what I mean. You know, and then you begin to, you know, receive that. And then what this does is it causes you to become disheartened. That's what happens to you. You know, and when you become disheartened, the evil one's got you defeated in walking by faith. It takes boldness to walk by faith. It takes courageousness. I tell you, it takes a hungry heart. That's really, it does. It takes a hungry heart. You know, I don't have anybody in mind, but, you know, I've heard many testimonies of very successful people, and I don't even mean in God necessarily, but of people that became from nothing, became very, very successful. You know, and the one thing that I've noticed about people that are successful is that they're not afraid of disappointment. They're not afraid of failure. You know, that's one of the things that stops a lot of people from thriving. Period. Right? Period. In life, just in natural, all right? But in also in the things of God. You know, that because of the fear of failure, they back off. They start backing off a little bit, and they start accepting things, you know, and then they lose that heart that they need to find in the Lord. And that's the amazing thing about a lot of people that have become very successful. You know, they're not afraid of failure. They're not afraid of failure. You know, if they fail, they're going to get back up, and they're going to go after it again. And they're going to go after it again with the same heart, right? They're going to go after the same. So, you know, that might be an issue of prayer for you. I don't know. You know, that might be an issue of prayer for you. You know, that you're afraid that you're afraid of failing. You're afraid of failing. You know, and when it comes, like, let me give you an example, when it comes to promises, when it comes to believing God, you know, well, you know, I don't want to get too far out there on the branch, right? I don't want to get too far out on the branch because what happens if it doesn't take place? What am I going to do now? Right? Now, you understand, for a lot of people, they cannot let that happen to themselves because they cannot let themselves get into what you would call a crisis of faith. Right? It's better that I never get out there. I never get out there on that limb. I never get out on that limb because, you know, God forbid, what if the limb breaks and I go down with it, right? Okay, so I'm going to play it safe back here, right? And there's a lot of people that do that in their faith. They play it safe. They're playing it safe. Because they don't want to get out there, because if they get out there, and then the evil one, well, he'll bombard you with that, right? He'll bombard you with that. Well, what? Okay. Well, what if it doesn't happen? Well, now, then what are you going to do? Then what are you going to do? Right? Well, there's a lot of answers to that, but that is a fear of failure. That's what that is. That's a fear of failure. It's a big issue to be tackled by believers. You know, because everything that we receive in the covenant of God, and that's what we have received in the Lord Jesus Christ, is a new covenant. And our salvation comes through that covenant. And in that covenant are the covenant promises of Almighty God, right? As we've been studying, we were studying that as many as may be the promises of God, they are yes in Him, right? Okay? So we've seen that and we studied that. Now, we're talking about that journey. And in that journey, all that covenant has been established. It's already done. Jesus was on the cross, and He said, "It is finished," and He yielded up His spirit. That means that the covenant has already been established. That means the covenant has already been made. That means that the covenant has already been given. That means the covenant promises are already yours in Christ. It's very important for us to understand that. So that makes the difference between taking the promises or receiving the promises versus begging for them. There's a great deal of difference between the two, right? All right, let's look on, and let's just see a little bit about this. Here's here's another place. This is in, well, let me, I'm going to do this real quick. Another, quick look. Verse 20, it says, "Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief." Now look at this, "but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God." Now, you know, so you understand, and I could look at other scriptures, and I won't right now, but you understand, you can be weak in faith. It's okay. The Holy Spirit will lead you into the steps or the journey to where you become strong in faith. Right? That's what will happen. What weighs in the balance is that you will go forward. That you will go forward in believing God. You know, that you won't allow those traps that the evil one sets up to rob you of your faith so that you will give up on faith or that you'll be afraid, like, for example, of failure. So you understand that there are promises, and some of them are just outlandish. They're outlandish. And I look at me, and I look at my life, and I look at the things before me, and I see no way. I see no avenue. Don't let that stop you now, okay? Because you understand the fulfillment comes through the covenant promise, right? You know, and the integrity of the promise is sealed in the righteous blood of Jesus. Are you hearing that? Okay. You know, as to the why the promise will be given, why the promise would be fulfilled, why would it be? You know, because it's been accomplished and it has been established through the holy, righteous blood of Jesus. So that's got nothing to do with your circumstances, does it? Are you with me? Right? All right. You know, So it doesn't matter that if you're weak or, for example, that you don't feel anything at the moment or whatever it would be. You know, you feel maybe a little hollow. You're like, you know, I could sure use a little witness, you know. If I could just have a little bit of a witness inside of me, right, you know. A little bit of encouragement or whatever it would be. You know, sometimes that's not what God wants you to learn. He doesn't want you to lean on, you know, perception. He doesn't want you to lean on what you think, what you feel. You know, he wants you to go, be able to have the strength of faith to where you feel nothing but say everything. And when I say everything, I'm talking about, you know, that you are confessing and claiming and receiving the promise of God. All right? That's a hard one, isn't it? Huh? That's a hard one. You know, you just feel as empty and weak as you possibly can be, you know, and we think faith is running on that, but it's not. But it's not. No. You know, we act on what the Word says, how we obtain, and when we act according to what the Word says and how we obtain, then that's how the promise is released. I'll show you that in about 3 seconds. All right, now, let's go on here. Now, let's go up to 16, in verse 16, and we see the foundation that's for this covenant, this new covenant through His blood. You know, that we took communion to remember that just a little bit ago. Here's verse 16. For this reason, it is by faith, now listen, that it might be in accordance with grace. Now, look at the rest of it. In order that the promise may be certain to all of the descendants, that means you, that means me, not only of those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So now, do you see there very clearly that it's saying, and that's the covenant, we have a covenant through His blood, a covenant of faith. This new covenant in the Lord Jesus Christ is a covenant of faith. And the way that the promises are released into our lives is on the basis of faith through grace. In other words, it's got nothing to do with how much you deserve it. Right? You know, how well is your walk going? You know, I don't know about you, but I feel like sometimes they're just going up and down. Are you with me there? And I'm going up and down, you know. Boy, I got it going today, right? You know, that's my perception, right? You know, and then another day, you know, I mean, my goodness, could I get any, as my mother would say, lower than a snake's belly, right? Lower than a snake's belly, right? So, you know, but see, but the covenant remains the same, and faith operates in the same way. All right, you know, so we find this. Now, let me give this to you. I know that you're aware of it. So you understand that when you believe God, that's when the grace of God is activated. Grace doesn't just simply flow in a stagnant way. It's not simply a doctrine. It is a work of Almighty God. Grace is the work of Almighty God. And on, you don't worry about tomorrow, you know, because grace increases. You know, at every point and crossroads that you come to in life and you think, oh, you know, I don't know if I could make that. I don't know if I could make the right, I don't know if I could do the right thing. As you believe God and you walk with the Lord in the midst of that, if you reach a crossroads, it's at the crossroads is where more grace flows. Grace is not stagnant water, right? Grace flows. It's a living work. You grow in grace, right? Okay, you know, the word there is charis, the Greek word for grace, charis, and this is what it means. It means the gift of God. It means favor. It means also credited to. So that means, do you hear that? That's real important to us. All of it is, but be credited to. That means that when I believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ as my righteousness, that all of the finished works of Jesus are being credited to me. Right? Jesus overcame the flesh. Jesus overcame sin. Jesus overcame the world. Jesus overcame the evil one. Right? You know, isn't that glorious? So by believing upon the Lord, you know, then grace flows in your life. And faith is a practice, not a concept. It's a practice. It's a practice of heart, and of mouth, a practice of heart and mouth. It's a practice of heart, yielding your heart, and then it's also a practice of confession before the Lord. We'll look at that more in just a minute. But I want you to see that this is the foundation of the covenant. This is the foundation of the covenant. You know, that it's a covenant that is of faith on the basis of faith through grace. You know, and everything that God does and establishes in your life is on the basis of the grace of God, because you believed it. You know, man, I'm more worldly, and I got flesh hanging out all over the place, and I got things in my life that I don't know if I can ever overcome them. I've tried to overcome them. I've tried to overcome that. I've tried to overcome this over here. It keeps popping up, and it keeps popping up. I've, done everything that I could possibly do. Well, get your mind and your heart and your eyes off yourself, because you don't deserve any of it, okay? You don't deserve any of it. And dare to believe God right in the middle of the mess and look and see what will happen to you, okay? Because God loves those that, He just loves for when you get your eyes off of yourself and you get your eyes on Him and you say, Lord, You're my righteousness. Lord, You're my righteousness, And I've been a dirty dog this week, right? But You're my righteousness. I'm still expecting all the audacity of You to do something like that, right? But if the enemy can get you on perception, then what happens to you? He always brings defeat, because He'll always show you. About that time, you believe in God. Oh, you're lifting it up. About the time you start praying about it, then the devil shows you something where you failed that week. Anybody other than me had that happen to you? Didn't come up any other time during the day, right? It certainly never came up when I was being tempted, right? Okay, but boy, about the time you step up there to believe God, here comes, that reminder, of when you weren't so Christ-like at that particular moment or that particular time. The whole point is to shut you down right there on the spot. I know nobody's had that experience in here but me, but. You have to learn how to rise above it, because that will always be there, and it's not always actions, right? It's not always your actions. Sometimes it's your thoughts, and sometimes it's your attitude, right? We think sometimes that if we didn't say it, that we're okay before God. Right? That's not necessarily true, right? There are some people that are very capable of having a lot of things in their heart and smiling at your face at the exact same time, right? And not saying a word. They're not any better off, okay? All right, so we've all got challenges, because we're all growing in the Lord, and we got these challenges, but we want to continue in the way of faith, and we want to keep our eyes on Jesus. Now, look for example here. Let's start with verse 1 of chapter 4. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned or credited to him as righteousness. All right? So you understand that when you believe God, even in the midst of the difficulty, it's credited to you as righteousness. You find approval with God. God's going to hear you. Me? After what I thought? After all what I had in my heart, He's going to hear me? Don't I need to do some penance first? That old trap, don't you? Right? Self-punishment. Anybody ever done that other than me here? Self-punishment. So you don't approach God, and you don't really pray. Glory to God, you get over that. But, I'm not in the Word or anything like that, because I'm just down in the mouth, and I'm lower, than a snake's belly, right? And I just shuffle through for the next 3 days, right? And then you start coming back to seeking the Lord. Why are you doing that? I told you the story about me being on the floor groveling before God, right? I'm so bad, you know. And just, you know, kept on going like that, you know. And I think it was probably about the time I got ready to take a breath. But anyway, but about the time I got ready to take a breath, I mean, boy, I heard God clear as a bell. And he said, "Are you through?" Yeah. I'm through. Because God's not moved with pity. Oh, gosh, you know. Your children might move you with pity. You might move your wife with pity. You might move your husband with pity, you know, and all that, and get what you want, right? You get what you want because you look so pitiful. You act so pitiful, right? Whatever it would be, right? Men are moved that way, all right? People are moved that way. God is not. Okay. It was very clear that day. Are you through? Yes, yes, Lord, I'm through. I didn't do that anymore. Praise God. All right, so you understand, when you believe upon the Lord, by the grace of God, you know, the gift of the Lord, you know, it's a gift. But the one thing I want you to say to you is you got to receive. Now, this is very important. You got to receive. If somebody hands you a gift, right? Somebody hands you the gift, you have to take the gift. You know, we have the gift of righteousness. And in that midst of the gift is also the covenant promises of Almighty God. You know, they belong to you. They are yes, and they are amen in Him, right? You know, so, you know, my expectation is not based upon my worthiness. My expectation is I'm learning to keep my eyes on Jesus, and He alone is my worthiness for righteousness. And not only in righteousness and approval before Almighty God, but also in receiving the promises of God. And so when I walk after that way before the Lord, then my expectation rises in Jesus. It rises in Jesus. Now, don't worry. Oh, well, now, you know, but aren't you being a phony? Aren't you being a hypocrite? You know, you can't keep walking that way and don't have things in your life and keep on receiving like that. You're just going to ignore it? Well, God won't. He'll get it out of your life. Okay? You keep on drawing near and you keep on believing God. Don't worry about it. He's going to get it out of your life. Okay? All right? You know, so these are challenges that we have. All right, let's go over here into another chapter if we can. I want you to go, I want you to go over here, if you would, in chapter 10. And we talk these things all the time. I want to cover them real quick. You know, so, you know, if I walk after the way of the Lord and I walk after the covenant way of God, then I can have an expectation that the Lord will maneuver me and He will bring me to the place of the fulfillment of the promise. He will bring me to the place of the fulfillment of the promise. If I'm weak in faith, it doesn't matter. Okay? Then He will lead me in the way that will make me strong in faith. Okay? All right, now, let's look at this. You know this right here. You know, I'm going to read 9 and 10 real quick. And this is in Romans 10 and 9. Now, look at this, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. You enter into the covenant of God, right, in that manner. And then he goes on from that, and then he kind of expounds upon it in verse 10. He expounds upon it. Here it is in verse 10. For with the heart man believes. All right? And then look what happens. Resulting in salvation. All right. So let's just put it, this way. What does that really mean? Well, it implies that you yield your whole heart to the Lord. All right. You know, what I want you to see out of this is I want you to see that this is why, you know, people, they attack what they call, I don't call it, you know, name it and claim it. Right. Name it. Because there are a lot of name it and claim it people that are out there, and there's those that mock that and everything else. We do claim the promises of God, but we first yield our whole heart to the Lord. You know, this is not selfish ambition. It puts selfish ambition down in the dust. You know, because I'm not just simply naming it and claiming it by faith. By first, I'm yielding my heart. I'm yielding my heart. So, you know, that's what this implies. You want the gift of righteousness and you want all of the covenant promises that come with it, then you commit, yield your whole heart to the Lord. And then what do you do after that? You live after that way in the Lord Jesus Christ, all right? That you, Lord, I'm keeping my heart for the Lord, right? I've been betrothed, right, to the Lord. You know, He alone is the lover of my soul. And I will have no other lovers in my life. I will be sure that my heart is kept for Him, right? And that's how you live, and that's how you walk before the Lord. That as we walk and as you believe on God, you know, you will find that the Holy Spirit many times will, He'll like, okay, daughter, son, I'll bring about that fulfillment of that promise. You feel that encouragement, strength, and then He'll hit upon something within you. He says, give me that, right? Let go of that, right? You know, let me, you'll be enlightened. Ever been enlightened, right? You'll be enlightened. You know, something that came to light within you. It kind of like focused, right? There you are, right? And so, you know, release it to God. He's moving in your heart, and He's removing every hindrance and obstacle to your faith. He's removing every hindrance and obstacle to you receiving the fulfillment of the promise. Now, go on from there, and then notice that, you confess as well. Here's verse 10, for with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness. Now, look at this. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Now, that's the fulfillment of the promise, isn't it? When it says, you know, so you receive righteousness by the yielding of your heart, right? And that grace comes, and everything that Jesus accomplished on your behalf has been granted to you. It's given unto you, being empowered to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. But then the other thing of it is that the salvation or the fulfillment comes through the confession. And what it means to confess, homologa, means to agree. Are you with me? Right? You need to agree. You know, you need to line up your heart, and then you line up your confession, okay, in the fulfillment of the promise. You know, that's why we don't beg God for promises, we receive them. Now, are you hearing me? This is a real difference here, right? There's a real difference, because if they're already been given, and they're all yes and amen in Him, then they already belong to you. Don't they? They already belong to you. Now what you do is that you receive them through faith. Right? That doesn't mean you don't ask the Lord. You know, you ask God for the fulfillment of a promise or whatever that would be. You do that, but you also do it in the heart and the mind and the attitude of receiving. Right? Receiving. Everybody say receiving. Everybody say receiving. Receiving. You know, and how are you receiving? You're receiving on the basis of faith. Why? Because they already belong to me. They're already mine. Now, look at this, and I want you to see this real quick. And then back up here in verse 8, it says this. Well, let's go to verse 6, but the righteousness based on faith speaks thus. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down. Verse 7, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. Now, I want you to see this. Verse 8 says, but what does it say? Now listen to this. The word... In other words, the word for fulfillment. The word is near you. Ah, really? The promises are near you. They're close at hand. Well, where are they? The word is near you. Where are they? In your mouth and in your heart. That is, now look at this, the word of faith which we are preaching, right? You know, so, you know, where that scripture right there in verse 8, I don't have time to read it, but it's very good to look at, is a direct quote from Deuteronomy 30, verse 14. That's where that quote is coming from. You know, and what they were saying is they were saying, well, how can we do this? How can we do this? How can we do this? And that was what was being spoken. And this was the word of the Lord in Deuteronomy 30, verse 14. And now he's quoting it right here. I'll tell you how you'll do it. I'll tell you how you'll do it. You will believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, and it will be given unto you. You know, that becomes a very important thing. You know, so I'm going to give you this real quick. I want to give you this. I want to give you actions of a living faith, okay? You know, I will give you a few actions of a living faith. Number one is the act of faith. You know, you got to act. If you're going to receive, you got to act. You know, some people got an attitude, well, I don't want to bother God. You know, right? I don't want to bother God. I'll bother God when I really need him. Well, let me tell you something. You need him more than you think, right? You need him more than you think, all right? You know, so then, you know, I'm not going to bother God. Then God gets pestered unless you bring the big things. No, walk with the Lord. You have to walk by faith. Faith has to be more than a concept. Now listen to what I'm saying to you. Faith has to be more than a concept. Faith is more than a doctrine, okay? It's something that you act upon. It's a consciousness of heart. It's a consciousness of mind that I walk after in the Lord, that I walk after in the Lord. I'm always walking after faith. Be a man of faith. Be a woman of faith. Walk in faith. Live by faith, all right? Okay, now, and then as we look on, here's number, and with that, these are the actions of faith, is that you believe or yield with your heart. You yield with your heart, okay? And then also that you confess with your mouth. You know, so, you know, notice this again. May I read it just real quick? Again, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. You know, so you're always yielding yourself, your whole being, up to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It's not simply a past thing. It's a present thing. You know, because if it's not a present thing, you're in danger of going astray. If it's not a present thing, you're in danger of going astray. Don't live off of yesterday. Okay, why would anybody want to do that, right? Why would anybody want to live off yesterday? You know, live off a living communion and fellowship of today in the Lord. I gave my heart 25 years ago, you know. Okay, good, you know. But where are you today? Because that 25 years ago doesn't mean much for right now, other than you entered in. All right? Okay, let me prove it to you. Okay, bear with me. Let's go over to chapter 5 real quick. You know, Joe, here's right over here at chapter 5. Now, look at the, if you would with me, this is Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, okay, that's people that give their hearts to Jesus, right? You've been justified by faith. Look here, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. You got peace with him because you've believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, look at verse 2. Through whom, that's the Lord Jesus, through whom also we have obtained, now look at this, our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. Did you see that? Okay. Our introduction by faith into this grace. All right. You know, when I'm reading a book, I'll read the introduction. Okay. But the whole book is yet to be read. Right. Okay, so, you know, we enter in 25 years ago. I entered in, but now there's this covenant fellowship and covenant relationship that is before me, all right? And God will fulfill all of his goodness to you. He will do it, okay? You be faithful to him. You be faithful to him. You walk with him today, not off yesterday, right? Not off yesterday. Have a living fellowship and communion that is alive and real now for today. And it never gets old. It just gets better. Okay? It gets better. Huh? Kathy, would you all come on? Oh, everybody say it gets better.